thank you for this wonderful day. And we do thank you, Father, for those that are tuning in live to be with us as well. And also for the safe trip for the mission team on their way home. Lord, keep them safe all the way to the very front doors. Father, thank you for that couple that married, moved into a brand new home, carried across the threshold, walked into a place fully furnished by these wonderful people at Calvary Chapel. Lord, bless them for their faithfulness and their giving. And Lord, we just lift up those this morning, especially Bill Cobb, who's there in the hospital. Lord, we just pray that he wakes up completely whole. And Lord, for Bobby Hoare, just touching her, bringing healing to her body. Lord, for Jared, just being with him as well. And Father, of course, for those that we keep lifting up for healing, James and Eleanor, and Lord, for Pete as well. Now, Lord, we just thank you that as we draw near to you this morning, that you draw nigh unto us. And Lord, I pray that the way that you love us, somehow we can return that kind of love. Lord, let that love be released in our hearts. Lord, just we love you, we praise you. And not only that, Father, we just pray that the way that you gave yourself to us, we would give ourselves to you as well. And that, Father, Jesus not only died for us, but, Lord, please, we want to live for him every moment of every day. Bless the word. Let every heart be open now. In the mighty name of Jesus, and the church says, amen. Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We're in an in-depth study on Sunday mornings. We're going to cover just a few verses this morning, verses 12 through 17. And remember that chapter 6, 7, and 8, there is one continuous thought. There's no chapter divisions, all right? And it covers the great doctrine of sanctification, meaning the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer to produce Christ's likeness in us, where we're changed from glory to glory. And so Jesus was born like me, meaning in human flesh, of course, without sin. So Jesus was born like me that I might become like him. Amen? And it goes for you as well. And so this chapter, which begins with no condemnation, as I said last Sunday, ends with no separation, absolutely no defeat in between. We come to some glorious verses. Remember that in chapter 8, the Holy Spirit had not been mentioned in seven chapters, maybe just one time, I believe. But it's mentioned he is 21 times in this chapter. And that tells us how important it is about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. We know that we have been given now the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, which is a higher law than the law of sin that's in our members or that evil that is present with us. And we have been freed from the law of sin. Amen? It no longer has dominion over us. But this morning, I want to read one verse before we start in verse 12, and I want you to look at verse 14 with me, where it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, these are what? These are sons of God." That's the title of this message. These are sons of God, and that's what we want to determine this morning. Beginning in verse 12, Paul writes to us, and he says, "Therefore, brethren," meaning that therefore, and understand why it's therefore, is we have to go back. So all that we learned last Sunday from verse 1 all the way through 11, Paul is now getting ready to make application to our lives, if you will. So he says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." Therefore, brethren, that's us. Thank God there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? No judgment. Thank God for that. Now that the law of the Spirit of life is working in us and has freed us from the law of sin and death, we are now debtors, okay? We're debtors to God our Father, Jesus our Savior, and the precious Holy Spirit who is present with us and in us. Amen? But we are not in any way debtors to our old flesh. You follow me? The old law of sin. I owe my flesh absolutely nothing because my flesh has always caused me to get in trouble. I don't know about you, but we have reckoned that old man dead. We no longer live according to the flesh. Amen? That's right. We've put that thing down. He is down. So the word debtor means literally to be obligated, okay? So you're under no obligation, number one, to your old sinful nature, the old, like I call him, the old Billy, you know? He doesn't have any control on me. He does. He tries. He wants to run my life, you understand? And he wants to run your life as well. But we now have the ability to where say, no, you're going to follow me. I am no longer going to follow you. Amen? And we do that by the Holy Spirit of God. The flesh, everything that I have done to get into trouble has never been caused by the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? It's always been caused by the flesh. Just look what it today in our society, in our nation, look what living in the flesh and satisfying the desires of the flesh, look what it's done to our country. Look what, I mean, just look at the election process and the words that are being spoken and the things that are happening. It is literally frightening. You see, the flesh is always trying to deceive me. It's always trying to deceive you. When I say flesh, I mean the old man that died, okay? You follow me, that old sinful nature. Now, he tries to deceive me and he tries to tell me, just as he does to you, that I am going to offer you life. Man, do this and live. Do what your flesh desires, and you're going to have joy and peace and all the rest of those things. But see, he's trying to deceive us, because Jesus told us in John 6:33, he said this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits absolutely nothing. Why? Well, look at the results of those who live after the flesh. Look at it there. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to have the greatest time in your life. Is that what that says? No. It says that those who have an ongoing, continuous lifestyle, an habitual lifestyle of living for the evil desires in their flesh, here's what's going to happen. They are going to die, and that is not physical death, that word die there. That means eternal death, being separated from God forever and ever. So Paul is speaking to those that are not sons of God, that are not daughters of God, that are lost, that are still in Adam, and their only hope is to turn to Jesus Christ and be born from above so they can walk in a newness of life. But thank God we owe our flesh nothing. We're not indebted to it. Now, it says, but if the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, but if by the Holy Spirit, you put to death, that's present tense, something that we do, you put to death the deeds or those evil deeds prompted by our bodies, you will what? Live. Literally, that's eternal life. You will live forever and ever. So we have eternal life. We're born again. We've been empowered now by the Holy Spirit of God. We are not indebted or obligated to this old flesh that's dying, that Paul said there's nothing good that dwells in it, nothing at all. We have now been empowered by a new law, the law of the Spirit of life. And we say, you know what? That is where our obligation lies. You see, our problem is this. We have the Holy Spirit, but are we, through the Holy Spirit, putting the deeds of the body, the sins of the body, the evil desires of our old nature, are we really putting them to death? Are we executing them? See, that's what we have to do. And the thing is that this can only be accomplished by the Holy Spirit. You see, that's not automatic. The moment you become a Christian, that's not an automatic thing that happens to you. The process, yes, has begun. But loved one, listen to me. A decision is required from each of us. Now that we're born again, now that our eyes are open, now that we have this power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, it requires a decision on our part. Are we going to put to death the deeds of these old desires, or are we not? So a decision has to come. You see, I cannot do it without the Holy Spirit put to death sin. And the Holy Spirit will not do it without my participation. Does that make sense? Very, very important. So we're a debtor. We're obligated to the Holy Spirit. Remember what Paul, when he wrote Titus in chapter 2, verse 12, he said this, denying ungodly lust. In other words, those horrible, horrible things. He says, all the worldly lust, to live soberly, in other words, with self-control, righteously and godly in this present age. We are born from above, but we still live in this world. Amen? But we no longer live for this world. This world is going to burn, and everything that's in this world is going to burn. The Bible says that the world is passing away and the lust thereof. He says, but he who doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever. You know, here we are, sons of God, daughters of God, and so forth. And our obligation, you know, God says, listen, I know that you can't do it on your own. He says, so I'm going to give you someone, the Holy Spirit, of course, who's going to help you do these things. So we have the divine helper of the church, our divine helper, the standby, the comforter, the strengthener, living in our hearts. Amen? He's with us right this very moment. So we cannot fulfill our obligation, if you will, by our own power. Only the Holy Spirit of God can give a believer victory over sin. We can't do it within our own power. And here's the issue. The old man, have you ever noticed how the old man lies to you? Oh, come on. Yeah, I mean, he lies to you. Why? He's evil. It says that evil is present with me. I'm dragging around the old man that died. I'm a new creation in Christ now. I'm walking in a newness of life, but I've got this filthy, vile, in Adam, old nature that in my unredeemed body. Only my spirit has been redeemed like yours. Amen? My body wasn't redeemed. That's why within us, in this flesh, whatever it is, whatever Adam did, it's in us. It runs through our members, and it wants us to obey. It wants us to do what it says, in other words. So he'll lie to you. Oh, you can do this much, just a little bit of this. You won't be in trouble. You can kill sin anytime you want to. You're strong enough. You're your own man. You're your own woman. You don't need anything else. Well, I tell you what, number one, the old man lies to you. And number two, the devil loves to lie to you. He'll never tell you the truth. And not only that, the flesh, the devil, and the world, you know what they want? They want you, the believer, to be obligated, indebted to them. God says, no, you are a new believer now. You must be obligated, in debt, to the Holy Spirit of God who leads you in all victory. Now, it's not within our power or any man's power to overcome. It's not. But it is within our power, now that we're born from above, to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. To whatever he says for us to do, then we do it. The Holy Spirit is not some tool. It's not a weapon. It's not a language. He is not an essence or a force or any of those things. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. Amen? Yes. Now listen, if you want to live, you have to kill sin before it kills you. The wages of sin is, it didn't say it, the wages of sin is not life, is it? No, the wages of sin, all it pays, like we've learned. Sin has a payday. The wages that sin pays is eternal death. Now, here's the thing. We walk now in the power of another. Remember what Zechariah said in Zechariah 4:6? It's not by power, meaning it's not by our human ability and so forth. It's not by might. It's not by my human ability. It's not by power, meaning armies or political powers or Democrats and Republicans or Hillary and Donald. Do you understand? God says, no, it's not by them. But it is by, he says, my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. See, we have to kill sin, the deeds of the body. We do so by the Holy Spirit of God. Colossians 3:4 says this, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. Here it comes. Therefore, since we are in Christ, since we're going to appear with him, since we're born again, therefore, put to death. Literally, deprive of power, deaden, execute, if you will. In other words, treat as dead because you have a new life in you. Put to death your members, that old evil nature, that old Adam, if you will, which are in your members upon this earth. Richard Baxter, a great Puritan back in the 1600s, said this. He says, use sin as it will use you. Spare it not. For it will not spare you. It is your murderer and the murderer of the world. Use it, therefore, as a murderer should be used. Kill it before it kills you. That's a true word, isn't it? You know, sin promises so much, and sin has pleasure. The Bible teaches that, but it's only for a season, and then all of a sudden the destruction comes into your life. And the sin does have that pleasure, but gosh, it's so temporary. And then what it does, it captures you. It takes you captive. It wants to destroy your entire life. God says, no, you have the Holy Spirit of God now, and you know what? Through Him, through His power and His love for you, you deny your flesh, tell your flesh no, and the Holy Spirit, through Him, will put to death the deeds of the body. Another way to kill sin is by getting into God's Word and really putting it into your heart. Amen? Psalm 119, verse 11 tells us, it says, your Word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, verse 14 is our main text. It says here, and it's so important and so vital we get that this morning. It says, for as many as are baptized, does it say that? Okay, good. As many as are that attend church, okay. As many as are led, meaning willingly led. I'm indebted, I have an obligation. Willingly led, not by the flesh, not by prophets and not by pastors, but are led not by friends, but by the Spirit of God. These are present tense. These are the sons of God. And listen, those who are not led, habitually led by the Holy Spirit of God, they are not sons of God. They are not daughters of God. Are you following me? That's so important. Listen, to be led by the Spirit, what does it mean? Just partially, let me just give you a few things. To be led by the Spirit means this. If you're truly born again, if you're truly walking in a newness of life, if you truly want to please God, all right? It means this. To be led by the Spirit literally means that the Holy Spirit, you are allowing the Holy Spirit of God to wean you from this world. Do you understand? The world can't help you. Why would we trust the world? Why would we trust finances that the world gives us? Listen, God can give you anything that quick. Amen? Yeah, I mean, listen, God can do that. You know, I don't want to get off on this, but I just felt the Lord quicken my heart. You remember I told you my first pastorate, Becky and I were, we were poor, we were broke, we had nothing, and those people came to my house that day with a birthday cake. You remember that? Three of you? Okay, I'll tell it again. And so here we are, had no food in the house. I mean none. I didn't have a dollar in my pocket. We couldn't buy, we had no groceries. And so I'm going, I'm really, to be honest with you, I'm blaming God. I'm going, and I was just a baby pastor then, okay? What's the truth? Not blaming the Lord. Lord, what did you do? What are you trying to kill me, you know, and all this stuff. So these people that were in the church, they came and knocked on the door, and they had a birthday cake, and it wasn't my birthday. They gave me this cake, and they said, the blessings are in the obedience, or something like that, you know? Becky would know it exactly. She never forgets a thing, but you know me. So here I is. I said, thank you very much. I take this cake. I set it down on the kitchen table, and I go, this is just great. I look at my wife right now. I said, we are starving. We have no money, and we're going to eat sweets. I mean, who wants a piece of cake? I want a steak. Do you understand me? No, am I right or wrong? I mean, when you're really hungry, you look at an Oreo cookie. Do you want an Oreo cookie? Please tell me no. Man, I want, give me a steak. Or, you know, you walk out of a Sam's or that a Walmart or whatever it is, and they got that little hot dog wagon out there. Can you smell it? I don't want an Oreo cookie. Give me that hot dog, man. Put all that stuff on it. Put the chili on it. So here I am, you know, and of course they were led by the Spirit of God to bring me a cake. And so I'm sitting there and I'm looking, I say, honey, this is so nice, but what are we going to do? And I look and there's all these candles on there. And I look at those candles and I realize that they're not candles, they're straws. And I said, who in the world would make a cake and put straws up there? You know, what kind of people are these? Yeah. So I pull that stinking straw out of there, you know, and I look and there's a $20 bill in it. I pick that up, another 20. You understand? Man, we went to the store and we bought steak that night and we had dessert later, eh? You know, but no, what I'm saying is that, see, they were led by the Spirit. The world wasn't their source. The world's not your source. He can bring a cake to your house or whatever. He can, whatever, do you understand me? See, God is supernatural. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. He's here with us right now. He you know, to be a son of God, to be led by the Spirit means not only that you're being weaned from the world, it literally means also that he is leading you. You are allowing him to lead you away from your old ways into all the new ways. That's called transformation. That's called sanctification. It also means to be led by the Spirit of God. It means that you are now being led into all truth. That's what Jesus said in John 16:11. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll lead you into all truth. Listen, we need the truth because only the truth can set us free. We don't need the world's truth. We need the truth of God, but we need it also living in our hearts. To be led by the Spirit means that he's directing our paths. Proverbs 5 and 6, I believe. Trust in the Lord with all, not some. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Holy Spirit, I need help. Lead me. He says, and he shall direct your paths. See, that's what God wants to do. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He's always leading us to victory. He really is. Always, if we'll be led by him. You see, the flesh doesn't want to be led by the Spirit of God. The flesh, the mind, I'm telling you, oh gosh, that's why we have to renew our mind to the things of God. See, the Holy Spirit is always leading you someplace if you are allowing him or if you're willingly led. What did David cry out in Psalm 23? He said, he leadeth me beside what? Still waters. He's always leading us, not into trouble. It doesn't mean that you won't get into trouble if you serve God. But you know, the flesh is always leading you to get into trouble, meaning to break fellowship with God. That's what the flesh does. But the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. Listen, if you're truly being led by the Spirit of God, then the Holy Spirit, as you're learning through grace, he is now the controlling life in everything that you do. In other words, he is the influence in our life. We are a debtor to the Holy Spirit. I need him. I need to listen to him. I need to hear his voice. I need his direction in all that I do. I'm in debt for him because he, remember what it says in Ephesians 4:30, he has sealed us until the very day of redemption. How we need to trust him with all of our hearts. Look at it again in verse 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, very important, ladies, listen carefully. You've probably been asking yourself, well, how about me? I'm a woman. It doesn't say anything about a woman there. This is the first use in Romans of this term, which is generic. It includes both sexes, if you will. So it's sons of God and daughters of God. Are y'all with me? Okay, very important. So we're obligated. You know why we're really obligated? We're obligated because of the dignity of our position. You see, we really are sons and daughters of the living God. I mean, listen, somebody said, well, you know, who's your dad? Well, Bill Gates. Okay, well, so what? Who's your dad? Warren Buffett. Okay, well, that's great. So what? Who's your dad? My father is in heaven. You see the difference there. Yes. Listen, we are sons. We are daughters. The dignity. The Bible says in 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love. That word, that term, what manner of love in the Greek is one big word, and it means a love that is not found on this planet, a love that is foreign to this planet, a love that is so incredible can only come from heaven. Behold what manner of love the Father has poured or lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God. We belong to the Lord. We are the Lord's children. You know, we are sons and daughters of God. And I say this right now with tenderness. But loved one, what in the world has hardened this incredible truth to the 21st century church? We should, listen, we should have tambourines underneath our seat, you know, and we should be banging them. Do you understand? And rejoicing about that. But there, it's like, okay, I'm son of God, you know, daughter of God, you know, King of kings, Lord of lords. Yeah. You guys have no humor, do you? No. Listen. The dignity of our position demands that we walk worthy of our calling. That what the things that we do in our life, that we please God. The lifestyle of a true believer is one that is truly being led by the Spirit. Now look at verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, we're no longer slaves to fear. We're born from above. We have nothing to fear except God himself. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, sound mind. But you have received what? The spirit of adoption, or the spirit of sonship, the spirit of daughtership, if you will, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now listen. Paul is writing to the saints at Rome. They understood exactly when he used the spirit of adoption, they understood exactly what he was talking about. Because to be adopted into a Roman family during Paul's time, especially to those in Rome, was a very, very serious thing. And so for, say, a son to be adopted into a Roman family, listen, the moment that that occurred judicially, they were permanently then adopted, permanently placed into that Roman family forever and ever and ever and ever. It could never be broken. It was a permanent thing. And every obligation, whatever it might be, any of the obligations, any of the problems before that person was adopted, they are all erased as if they had never, ever existed. Does that sound familiar to you? That we have now been adopted, amen? And that our past, our old Adam, everything that we have, it's gone, amen? Yes, all of that has been taken away, you know, and so forth. It's treated now as though it never existed, just like it did with the Roman adoption. So now we're members of God's family. We're full adult sons, according to God, full adult daughters and so forth. We're completely out of the Adam's family, and we're into the family of God. All of our sins, thank God, they're erased. You know, you have natural adoption and you have spiritual adoption. Natural adoption, I could say, Kevin, I'm going to adopt you, you know, and so forth. I'm going to even give you my name. I don't have any money in the bank, but you can have what I have. You can even take my debt if you want to, you know. But, you know, and I can say, you know what, when I die, that old broken down car is going to be his, the whole bit. But there's one thing I could never give him. I could never give him my nature. Does that make sense? Well, the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:4, what does it say? That we have received the divine nature, that's God, the divine nature having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. We have the divine, Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory, amen? We have the Lord in us. He's adopted us. But watch this now. But you receive the spirit of adoption by which we cry out. That's that heart that's crying out, saying, oh, God. And he says, what is it? At Aramaic, Abba, Father. The same word that Jesus used in Mark's gospel when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Our Father here, we can say, oh, Abba, Daddy, Papa. That's a term of endearment. I mean, think about that, the intimacy that we can have with Abba, Father. Now listen, we have a Father who not only loves us, protects us, leads us, guides us, we have a Father that acknowledges us as his very own. I don't know what that does for you, but it's hard for me to believe. When I say hard to believe, that's really true. I mean, because we tend to look at ourselves and what we used to be or whatever. I wouldn't even adopt myself. You understand? No, but God says, oh no, I've changed you. You're now in my son. All has gone away. And look what happens when that occurs in verse 16. Then the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit himself, look what he does. He bears witness, or he testifies, if you will, with, not to, that's very important, with what? Our spirit, that we are born ones of God. That's what that word children mean. The born ones of God. We're God's little children. What is the witness of the Holy Spirit himself in the life of the believer? What is it? You know what it is? It's the assurance that you know in your knower, into your heart, okay, that you really are children of God. You know that you're saved. You have that assurance. Why? His spirit bore witness with our spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17 that we are one spirit, joined with the Lord. We are one spirit with the Lord. He lives in our heart. Galatians 4:6 says, whereby we cry out, where the Spirit, God has sent forth his Son, the Spirit of Christ into our hearts, where we cry out, Abba, Father. Man, we are the children of God. And it is the Holy Spirit in us right now that gives us the ability to say, Abba, Father. Because we would not say that without the power of another. You know, I look at that like Jesus. What did he say in John 1:12? Jesus said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the privilege, the authority to become children of God to those who believe on his name. And now it just gets gooder and gooder. Watch this, verse 17. And since children, since we're sons of God, daughters of God, since we're children, then look what happens. We're now heirs. We're heirs of God, and not only that, joint heirs with Christ, meaning the anointed one. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. I'm going to ask you a question. I say this tenderly. I love you guys, but listen, man, how in the world is it that we, the 21st century church, how can we not be obligated to God? Come on. How can we not be obligated to him? I mean, we don't have a free pass. We don't have insurance, fire insurance. No, no, we're born again. We're saved. We're sons. We're daughters of God. I mean, the dignity of that position says, listen, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and he lives in me, and he runs my life. Amen? Listen, when we do things like that, you know, I look and I say, dear Lord, you know, how can we not be obligated? May the Holy Spirit of God forever remove from the 21st century Christian and the 21st century church where they say, I'm a lover of myself more than a lover of God. Listen, we can't make it without the Holy Spirit. And I look and I say, oh God, listen. You know, in other words, what God is just going to do for us. Listen, everything that Christ receives by divine right, we're going to receive because of divine grace. Amen? Think about that. We're heirs and co-heirs with Christ. In Christ, we have been given right now, in Christ, we have been given so much that heaven can absolutely give us no more. There's nothing left to give. Are you following me? We have everything, loved one. And I think about how can we, the church today, how can we who were, not any longer, thank God, were dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead, how can we who were slaves of the devil, didn't even know we were slaves of the devil, but we were, how can we who were, listen, had you died before you came to Christ, where would you go? How could we who were saved from hell, we're no longer hell bound, how can anyone who is really a son of God, a daughter of God, how can we refuse to give God our time? How can we refuse to serve God? Do you know that? That's, to me, is literally heartbreaking. How can we say, I'm a pew. That's what I serve. Is it? No, that's not. No. That's not it. How can we do that? How can we who have been given, Ephesians 3:1, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. That means who has pronounced us blessed right now, who has blessed us with every, say the word every. Okay, every spiritual blessing which is in the heavenlies, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That doesn't mean the blessings when we get to heaven. That's the blessings here right now. God says, I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing. How in the world can we say, you know what? I don't need to do anything for you. Where is that? That's not being led by the Spirit of God, is it? No. How can we, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:21, he said to the church at Corinth and to us as well, all things are yours. Everything that God the Father is giving God the Son is going to share equally with all of us. Think about that. How can we say, well, I don't know. I don't want to serve. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to give God a penny and da 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 da. What is wrong? This feels good. You know exactly what I'm saying. You know what's really wrong? There are 320,000 churches in America. Maybe 100,000 of them truly, number one, believe God's word. Secondly, teach the whole Bible. Maybe. The others don't. You say, Bill, it's a pretty big judgment. No, that's a true fact. That's why, we're saved. We don't have to do anything. Listen, a son of God and a daughter of God, they do something. Amen? It's just not, this is who I am. I'm the king's kid. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean you're supposed to, live in $55 million homes or something? Come on. No, I look and I said, oh, God, you're so good. Think about the inheritance that we have. I mean, or look at this way. Let's look at it from an earthly view. Let's say Bill Gates was your dad, and he passed on, and he left you all of his money. Would you be rejoicing? You're a bad bunch this morning. Yeah, bad. Warren Buffett, if he passed away and left you all the money, would you be rejoicing? You'd probably get a suit, change churches, and go to a high-class church. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? All that money now? Okay, well, listen. All their money is one thing, but God owns everything. The moment we step out of this body, which is not redeemed, this flesh, that's why the evil is still present with us. That's why that law of sin is trying to work in our members. The moment we step out of this body, can you imagine what it's going to be like? Think about that. I was talking to some people the other day, and they were asking me about peace and so forth. And I said, listen, there's only two people that ever experienced the true peace of God in the entire world that's ever been born. And that is Adam and Eve. They walked in perfect peace with God, didn't they? I mean, think about that. We have the peace of God, but no, they experienced it both physically and visually. They understood that. Listen, God owns everything. They just discovered, I saw in the news last week, they discovered that there's 10 billion more galaxies or something. That they've messed it up as they usually do, you know what I'm saying? And then you go to school, learn that, and if you don't get it right, they fail you. This is the truth, in college. And now look, then they have to always revise. Well, now there's more than this. Listen, think about all that God has created. The value of any inheritance is determined by the worth of the person who gives it. God owns everything. He owns the very breath that you're breathing this very moment. The Bible says in Psalm 24:1, it says, the earth and all of its fullness, it all belongs to the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 50, verse 10, every beast of the forest, God says, is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Haggai 2:8 says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Listen, all that God has, we're going to inherit that. But more than that, the Bible tells us that there's something else that we're going to inherit. Oh, how wonderful this would be. Our inheritance is God himself. We're going to be in heaven. And listen, heaven is not like I told the first service. I said, heaven is not a place where we're dressed in white and there's a halo over your head and you have a golden harp and you're floating on a cloud. You know that? No. You know what? We're gonna have, this is, you're going to see me, but I'm going to be perfect. No, and so are you. We'll recognize one another. Do you understand? Yeah, we'll get up and say, man, Bill, look at you. You got more hair. There's no gray. And those eyes are really blue, baby. Yeah. Come on. No, I mean, not. You can't think sin. You can't think anything wrong. It's going to be perfect when we get home like that loved one. Oh, listen, God is our inheritance. It says in Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is my portion. Now, let's look at the part no one memorizes. If indeed we, what? Suffer with him. Suffer with him, not him suffer with us. If we suffer with Jesus, that we may also be glorified, that's future, glorified together. The word suffer with there is only found in the New Testament in one other place, and it has to do with the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, where it says, if one member suffers, then all the members suffer with it. Now listen, this is speaking about suffering with Christ, not just mere suffering, sickness and all that. That's not what this is talking about. No. The suffering that they're talking about in Romans here is the suffering that is that comes about because of our relationship with Christ. We're now a believer. We're being led by the Spirit. And as we're being led by the Spirit, we're being changed from glory to glory into Christ's likeness. And therefore, the world can't stand us. Do you understand? We start acting like the Lord and we start thinking like the Lord. And listen, when you live for Jesus, no matter how loving you are, I mean, they're going to hate you. Was Jesus the sinless, spotless Son of God? He never did anything wrong. But listen to what Jesus said in John 15:8. He says, if the world hates you, well, listen, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Why? Well, because darkness doesn't like light. You see, let the world hate you, not because you're a Bible thumper, not because you're putting people down. Let them hate you because you walk in the love of Christ. Amen? That's what that's about. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. You're going to go through it in this life. And so am I. And you know, the American church, we must stop walking in denial. You know, you are going to have storms in your life. You are going to have trials in your life. And you can overcome them through Christ. Amen. Through the power of another. Now, the Bible tells us in Philippians 1:29, it says, because to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him. Yeah, that's where the American church stops. We believe in him, praise the Lord. Let me finish it. But also to suffer for his sake, not our sake, his sake, meaning your lifestyle, not meaning anything, sickness and all that. That's not what this is talking about. No. And look at verse 18, and let's wrap this up, and I'm going to make an application. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed where? In us. Now listen, if you are a son of God and a daughter of God, you have an obligation. You are in debt, loved one, to know the Holy Spirit, to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, to practice that awareness with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Listen, see, if you don't know the Holy Spirit, how in the world can you depend upon the Holy Spirit? If you don't know the Holy Spirit, how in the world can you acknowledge the Holy Spirit? And if you're not obedient to the Holy Spirit, when he says to go to the left, go to the right, whatever he tells you to do, well, what are you going to do? Listen, the Holy Spirit will never lead you in, it'll never get you into trouble. It may get you into trouble, in other words, because you're serving the Lord, but it'll never lead you to sin. Amen. It'll never tempt you and lead you over here and say, you know, where your eyes will catch on, never. It'll never lead you down to the honky-tonk. You know, they still call them honky-tonks? And it probably will never lead you to Luby's either. Well, that wasn't God, okay. Now, No. See, you have to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. He's real. He speaks to you. You can hear him. He can talk to you. See, we know what the known will of God is because we have 66 books of the Bible. But what about the unknown will of God? If you study out the book of Acts, you'll find that the Holy Spirit, I believe, speaks about 38 times, and the other, when he's moving, is just a couple of times. He's always speaking. In Acts chapter 13, he forbid Paul to go into a certain country to preach God's word. The Holy Spirit, how did he know that? Because the Holy Spirit has a voice. We must know him. We must practice that awareness that he's with us even right this minute. Do you really know him? Do you know the one who loves you? He really loves you. That he's with you all the time. He's watching you. He's leading you. He's protecting you. He's encouraging you. He's the great standby. He's the strengthener, the encourager, the comforter. He's the Spirit of all truth. He's the Holy Spirit of God. He is a person. He can be vexed. He can be grieved. He can be saddened. You can quench the Spirit of God. Boy, he loves us. He's here right now. And he says, listen, I am in you. I can put sin to death for you if you just yield to me. I'll get you out of this mess, and I'll take you to where you can never, ever imagine. Look back just for a moment. Let's make application. Let's look back at verse 14 one more time, where it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. These are daughters of God. Now listen, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? I can't give you, time doesn't allow me to give you an exhaustive list, but let me just give you a few this morning, okay? See, to really be led by the Spirit of God means, number one, it means you are changing. Your old person is, in other words, you know you're born from above and you are being changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says that we are being transformed, if you will. It says, by the Holy Spirit, from glory to glory, by the Holy Spirit has been given unto us. The Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer, it's transferring or changing us daily, weekly, yearly into Christ's likeness. In other words, when you first become a believer, you might have had a lot of things that you just, gosh, I'm still walking in sin. I still have a pack of cigarettes, a case of beer in the truck, and or whatever it might have been. And you say, I know that's wrong now. I don't want to be under the control of my old person. And then you know what the Holy Spirit does? He breaks the power of sin off your life. The penalty of sin, Jesus paid for it. The power of sin is broken through sanctification. Amen? And one day when we get to heaven, we will be free from the presence of sin forever and ever. But now we have to obey the Holy Spirit and let him move in us. So we're being changed and so forth. Another thing is, if you're being led by the Spirit, would you say that you would be a loving person? Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is hate. The fruit of the Spirit is sowing discord. The fruit of the Spirit is gossip. The fruit of the Spirit is lying. And the church is full of that. Think of it. Here we are, sons of God, daughters of God. No, the fruit of the Spirit is the divine love of God that cannot be purchased on this earth. It comes directly down from heaven. It's the agape of God. And the only way to have that kind of love is to have the Holy Spirit living in your life, meaning you must be born from above. Amen? Oh, listen, what did Jesus tell us? He said, listen, this love that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit that's been given to you, Romans 5:5. What did he say? He said in John 13:34, it's a new commandment. Brand new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And as you heard me say 1,000 times, here's the new part, as I have loved you. I want you to love each other just like I've loved you. And by this, all the world will know that you're my disciples. All the world will know that you're being led by the Spirit. Listen, the flesh will never lead you into the agape or the divine love of God. The old man, the old flesh, he is selfish. He is self-centered. He wants his own way. He wants to judge people and cut down people and be critical of people. He doesn't want to help anybody. He wants to put himself up as some self-righteous dude. You understand? No. But the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden working in the life of the believer, being led by the Spirit, you look at other people and you start looking at other people the way Jesus looks at other people. You start thinking about other people the way he thinks about them. You start caring the way he thinks. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ is in you. You're being changed. How? By the power of another, something that you can't do. You start throwing those sins off, say, I don't want to live like that anymore. It doesn't mean you might not fall again into one of them, but you don't have to stay there. Do you understand? You don't have to stay there in your life. No. How about this? Do you think those that are led by the Spirit, do you think they're winning the lost? Yes, come on. Don't be mean. Jesus said in Mark 1:17, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Paul writes 2 Corinthians 5:20, he says, you are ambassadors for Christ. You're his representatives on this planet. And you know what he did in Acts 1:8? He filled us with power upon high. He baptized us in the Holy Spirit. Why? That we might be his witnesses to the uttermost parts of the world. How? We go wherever we go in the power of another. We walk in the power of the another. And God uses us. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. Another thing is, if you're led by the Spirit of God, do you think that you might be following Jesus? What did Jesus tell us in Luke 9:23? He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus said in John 10:27, he said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. The only way you can follow Jesus, it cannot be done in your flesh. It cannot be done with this old man. It has to be done with the new man. The law of the Spirit of life, meaning the Holy Spirit who is working in you and leading you into Christ's likeness. Oh, listen, that's what it's really all about. How about this one? Do you think that if you're being led by the Spirit, do you think that you might serve? Yes. Are you serving? If not, why not? In other words, are you being useful to the body of Christ? Being useful for God? Using the gifting that God has given unto you? That's to be led by the Spirit. Jesus said in John 12:26, he said this, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. You mean, Lord, I'm just serving you how? Because you're doing whatever the Spirit tells you to do. He tells you to go to the right, you go to the right, to the left, you go to the left. That's what God does. Listen, do you think that if you're being led by the Spirit, you think that you would be a giving person? Yes. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Men will bring into your bosom with the measure that you have given out. It'll be measured back to you. Do you believe that? Jesus can't lie. He doesn't say, he said, you know, given to me, you're going to starve to death. No, listen, we are people that are led by the Spirit. They give unto God. They do what they're supposed to do. The Bible says, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:6, you know what? If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. He goes on to say, not grudgingly, you know, don't be a whiner and all the rest of that. He said, for God loves a cheerful giver. Those who are led by the Spirit give unto God to support the kingdom of God. Do you understand? What is it? What prevents so much of the church, every church, not just here, where only 8% of the people support God with their tithes or their offerings? What is that? Yes, thank you, it is wrong. I say this in humility. My wife and I have given a tithe and an offering for nearly all of our married life. Every Sunday, there is a tithe and an offering. Because the Bible says in Malachi, bring your tithes and it's the tithe plus the offering that opens up the window of heaven, loved one. It does. I've seen it. I still continue to see it. Listen, if you're being led by the Spirit, I would feel guilty. I remember this morning when I left the house, because Becky always puts the tithe checks on my wallet in my nightstand. Is that what it's called? Drawer, the nightstand? And I said, so I went there. I said, where are the tithe checks? Did the Baptist church come and steal them? I'm teasing. You know I'm joking. Come on. I just want to see if you're listening. And she said, no, they're back in the study. And I said, oh, okay. I would feel ashamed. I have sat back there. and I have forgotten to bring the tithe for my office here, and I will leave the service and go back and get it, I feel terrible. Why? Because I know with all my heart that money belongs to God. Boy, I tell you, and Bill, are you trying to preach on giving? I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. Oh, the sons and the daughters of God. Listen, do you think that if you're led by the Spirit, do you think the Holy Spirit's going to say to you, I don't really want you to have a quiet time. You need to sleep late. Oh, you know, don't set your alarm clock. Get that extra 30 minutes of sleep this morning. Will the Holy Spirit do that? No, your flesh does that. Your flesh says, I'm not getting up. Oh, God, bless everybody. Whoever's on my prayer list, thank you. Just cover them in the blood. Hello. You know, no, you're guilty. And I've done that too. So that's right. I've been there. I'm preaching to Bill. I understand that. I'm not any different than you. I have to be led by the Spirit just like you do. Look down to verse 26 in chapter 8. Who is the one that is helping us to pray? Likewise, what? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We don't know how we need to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit does. Listen, you have the greatest prayer partner in all of the world, in all of the universe. He said, come on, I'll help you. I don't know how to pray. And he goes, thank you so much. I don't know what to pray for. Oh, thank you for agreeing with me, because you don't. He says, now, let me start moving through you. Let me start bringing names and faces, and let me move you to this part of the world and that part of the world. And you may not even know why. Why? You're being led by the Spirit of God. How about this? Do you think that if you're being led by the Spirit, if you're a son of God, daughter of God, do you think that just maybe you might be a person who walks in forgiveness? Yes. Instead of being hurt and going, well, that person hurt me, and you don't tell the person, you go and tell everybody else in the church. And they're going, well, what do you think I can do about it? Do what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? Kill him. No. He said what Matthew 18, 50. He said, listen, go to your brother. Go win the person back. Go gain him. If he's caused you some problem, go forgive him. You see why? You're spirit led. You don't go around, look what that person in bad mouthing, sowing discord. That's of the devil, man. No one that's spirit led sows discord. No one that's spirit led gossips or lies. No. The Bible tells about our forgiveness in Ephesians 4:32. Paul says, be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. Or did he forgive us completely? Okay, then we're to walk in that kind of forgiveness. And listen, not only that, he says, he goes on in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, in other words, since God has forgiven you, listen to what he says to do, therefore, be imitators. Act like God. Be imitators of God as dear children. Now listen to me. To be Spirit-led is not difficult. You can see it. Because to be Spirit-led brings you down, narrows your whole life, your whole walk, your whole action down to one lifestyle only. It means to be Spirit-led. Your life has been narrowed down. Your walk has been narrowed down now to only one man. And who is he? He's Jesus. He is our Lord. To think like him, to act like him, to love like him, and so forth. Listen, that's what it means to be a son of God, a daughter of God. I love you with all my heart, but you listen to me now. If you are not doing any of those things, and I realize we're all growing, but if you're not doing that, how can you say, I'm walking in agreement with the Holy Spirit of God? You can't say that. You know, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? The Holy Spirit saying, go talk to him, her. I want to save him. Well, I don't know if I can do it or not. You know you can't do it, you moron. I can do it for you, though. I know he would never do that. I'd do that, though. Do you understand me? He said, okay, Lord, whatever you say. You know, whatever it means, I'm going to be obedient. Lord, you know, I'll never, the worst thing I've done in disobedience, one of the worst, it's never left me. I've never forgiven myself. And every time I think of it, it hurts me. And it happened about 20, maybe 25 years ago. It could have been longer, maybe even 30. I was at American Airlines waiting on someone to come in the ministry. So it was my first pastorate. And to make a long story short, it was just like this. All the chairs were here, and they were full of people. And then there was one row of chairs all the way back here against the wall facing all those people. And I, as the Lord is my witness, the Holy Spirit said, stand up and tell them that Jesus Christ died for them, paid for their sins, and loves them. As God is my witness, I grabbed the bottom of my chair, and I said, Lord, are you sure that's you? I wanted to get up, but I didn't. I mean, I'm being very transparent right now. Do you understand? I know what it's like to be put in those situations. But see, I tell you what, if he said that to me today, because see, I've grown. Does that make sense? I'm no longer that little sissy baby pastor I was all. Do you understand? No, now you're looking at the Hulk, brother. You understand? You tell me I'm going to get it done. Whatever you want me to do, I want to get it done. Now listen, to be led by the Spirit. I know it's time to go and I'm rushing. But listen, to be led by the Spirit. Let me tell you what it means. One more thing. My secretary brought me from one of the volunteer booklets, one of our teens, on Friday, this Friday, to my office. Pastor Bill, I want you to read this. I said, okay. And it was a testimony of the volunteer packet from one of our kids, and I've known him from the day he was born. Listen to what he says. He says, when I was younger, I had asthma. I had asthma attacks all the time. I thought I would never get better. And the doctors, well, they thought the same. I prayed, and eventually I was healed. And now I play the clarinet, and I'm the best player. I like that. Now, wait a minute. I'm not through. Listen to what he says now. I follow God. And at my school, I see many bad things. But I keep my mind straight. And with God's help, I ignore all the madness at my school. I want to be closer to Him. I want to be closer to His Word every day. I want to be a warrior for God. Listen. Amen. Man, listen. That is what it means to be led by the Spirit. That's what it means to be a son and a daughter of the living God. Amen. One more quick thing, and you got to get this, and because if you don't do this, you're going to miss something great. If you're not led by the Spirit, in other words, if you're just not going to let that happen, you're going to live your own life and say, oh, I'm okay, and so on. Listen, you're in trouble. You see, you're going to miss so much. Just turn in your Bibles quickly ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and look quickly with me. I'm going to close now, but just let me hurry. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Watch this now. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has, now that means it's a present tense, present fact, God has revealed them, the things which He's prepared, to us through His Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. Now watch, for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows, no one comprehends the things of God except those who have 5 PhDs. No, except the Spirit of God. Now watch this. Now we have received, that's present tense, not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is foolishness with God. We've the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? Watch this now. That we might know the things, the deep things of God that have not been earned, but have been freely given to us by God. Listen to me. God wants to share so much with you. Listen, we are a supernatural people. We are sons of God, daughters of God. We are the water walkers. Amen. Listen, and see, that's the Holy Spirit will always lead you into a supernatural life. He wants you to lay hands upon the sick. He wants you to see them to recover, the ones he says to go to. God wants us to be like Peter, and where the Holy Spirit moves upon us and say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Amen. That's who we are. We are the sons and the daughters of God. And if, next week, when you look down there, it says, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Oh, loved one, listen. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit. We need to be ruled by the Spirit. Because you have great adventure and waiting for you from God. Amen. The deep things of God. That's what it's all about. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you. We honor you. We thank you for your holy word. We want this church, all of us, to be led by the Spirit, Lord. Every member a servant. Every member a giver. Every member a lover. Every member praying. Every member changing. From the youngest to the very oldest. Why? Because we're being led by the power of another. The precious, wonderful Holy Spirit of God. So touch your people. Touch your people. Touch your people. Touch them with the precious Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, tomorrow begins early voting. And I know that many have called me and emailed me and they have said, Bill, I'm not voting. I'm not here to tell you what to do in your life in that area. But I am asking you in Jesus' name to fulfill the privilege and the honor that God has bestowed upon our nation. And I encourage you, not for a candidate, but I do encourage you to do this. Know what your candidate believes and what they stand for. I know one stands for abortion and one doesn't, for example. I encourage you to do this. Vote righteousness. And whatever you do, I mean, we don't have a lot to go for, okay, guys? That's the truth. But I would rather vote whoever has the most godly platform. Their platform. That's... Vote righteousness. You don't want to vote against righteousness. You don't want to be part of that. Does that make sense? I beg you, please vote. Don't sit home and think it doesn't matter. It does matter. Had only five... Oh, never mind, I don't want to go there. You know what, if you're not a son or daughter of God, we're going to close with a song. And there'll be people at this altar when the song is over who will love you, who will pray for you, and who will introduce you to Jesus Christ, who died for you, who loves you, and will save you. The Lord bless and keep you in Jesus' name. Let's sing to the Lord.